Well, for the month of December, we have been looking at what we in the Christian and Missionary Alliance sometimes refer to as the fourfold gospel. And by that, we simply mean that we emphasize and we celebrate the fact that Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our sanctifier. Jesus is our healer. And Jesus will be our coming King. And this morning, I want to focus on the great truth that Jesus is our healer. Now, way back at the very beginning of creation of the world, there was no need for healing because there was no one sick, at least at first. One commentator put it this way: there was no disease in Eden originally, and there will be none in heaven. The human race began in a perfect state, and it will end the same way. End of quote. Obviously, however, between the Garden of Eden and the wonders of heaven, we do battle disease and we do struggle with sickness. Why is that? Well, it's very simple, actually. Death and disease came as a result of the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Listen to Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden." What incredible freedom. "But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." Eat any tree you want. Just stay away from the one for your own good. Stay away from the one. For the day you eat of it, you will surely die. Literally, God's words were, "Dying, you shall die." Or phrased another way, "You shall begin to die the day you eat." So sickness, disease, death, these are not God's fault. We cannot blame Him for the struggles that we may be going through. God clearly warned Adam and Eve that if he disobeyed and ate the forbidden fruit, there would be consequences for that disobedience. And sadly, today, the entire human race is living with the consequences of that disobedience. Thankfully, however, God is and has been and continues to be gracious towards us, very merciful towards us. In fact, way back in the second book of the Bible, God reveals another of His many names to us. We find this in Exodus 15, verse 26. The name God gives to us in this verse in the Hebrew is Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha, which means, "I, the Lord, am your healer." And the God who provided healing to the children of Israel is the same God who is able to provide healing even today. You see, even though He did not have to, God chose to make a way for us to be reconciled to Himself by sending His Son Jesus to die on a cross in our place, taking the punishment that we deserved for our sin. That is why we celebrate the fact that Jesus is our Savior. And even though He did not have to, God often chooses to make divine healing available to those who seek Him for it. Isaiah 53, verse 5 says of Jesus, "But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities or sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. By his wounds, we are healed. Jesus is our healer. Indeed, one of the major ministries that Jesus had when he walked here on earth some 2,000 years ago, one of the major ministries he had was a healing ministry. Of the 35 recorded miracles that we have for us in the Gospels, and I rather suspect there were many, many more miracles than that, but of the 35 that are recorded for us, 28 of them, or 80% of them, were healing miracles. That is a lot. Actually, I read somewhere that there are 154 references to healing in the Bible. Divine healing is clearly a major biblical theme that runs throughout these pages from beginning to end. Let me share with you a little bit about A.B. Simpson and his experience of God's healing power. And please understand that as I've been sharing examples from Simpson's life in the last few weeks about how he was saved and how he was sanctified and this morning how he was healed, it is not my intention to magnify a man, not at all. I'm instead trying to use these examples to help us magnify God. Albert Benjamin Simpson was the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance, our denomination. And I think it is helpful, it is useful for us to understand a little bit about him and his ministry and his journey of faith, to understand this missionary movement, this missionary denomination that has evolved. For the first part of his life, Simpson was not a well man. In fact, for over 20 years, he struggled with illness in one form or another. When he was only 14 years old, while preparing for college, he had something of a nervous breakdown. During his first pastorate in Hamilton, Ontario, he developed heart problems. And they were so severe that sometimes he would have to go away for months at a time for complete rest. And later in his life, when he was ministering in New York City, there came a point where the doctors said his strength was so low, he was so feeble, the doctors did not think he would live more than just a few more months. But then Simpson came under the teaching ministry of Dr. Cullis, who was conducting healing meetings at Old Orchard Beach. And there Simpson learned to trust Christ not only as his Savior, not only as his sanctifier, but also as his healer. Simpson later wrote this, quote, "Divine healing is Jesus himself. His life manifested in your mortal flesh. We must live in him. We must take our healing as we do our life, breath by breath from Jesus." That is the secret of what some have called the exchanged life. The exchanged life. Moment by moment, exchanging our weakness for his strength. And that is what divine healing and trusting Christ as our healer is all about. One of the most dramatic healings that I have personally witnessed involved my wife. Several years ago, my wife and I and another couple, we traveled to Sunshine Village near Banff in Alberta to do some downhill skiing. We had a great time. Then at the very end of the day, when we were tired and probably should have packed up and gone back to the hotel, we decided to go down the mountain just one more time. And as we were going down, my wife was going down, all of a sudden out of nowhere, another skier came and cut right in front of her, and her skis went over top of his skis, and she went tumbling down into the out-of-bounds area and severely injured her knee. Required a cast for several weeks. When the cast came off, there was some improvement, but she still had to use crutches to get around. This went on for a few more weeks, and then one Sunday while we were at church, an invitation was given for those who wanted to trust Christ as their healer to come to the front, be prayed for. Long story short, Sharon used her crutches to get to the front of the church. She was prayed for, and she walked out carrying her crutches afterwards. It was really quite remarkable. Now, many of you, dare I say, most of you here this morning are already trusting Jesus to be your Savior, which is wonderful. And many of us are learning more and more of what it means to trust Christ as our sanctifier. But my friends, are you also trusting Jesus to be your healer? In Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, Jesus had just healed Peter's mother-in-law of a fever. And then it says, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick. As I stated just moments ago, 80% of the miracles we have recorded of Christ were healing miracles. The Jesus who saved you and who also wants to sanctify you is able to heal you. He is Jehovah Rapha. I, the Lord, am your healer. Now, before we go any further, I do want to point out a very important distinction that we emphasize in the Christian Missionary Alliance, a distinction that I believe is very biblically based. When we are seeking God for healing, it is very important that we keep our focus on seeking after God, our healer, and not just be focused on God for healing. I know it may sound like I'm splitting hairs here, but there is a dangerous tendency that I have observed in Christian circles from time to time. Sometimes we make the mistake of worshiping worship instead of worshiping God. Have you noticed that? Sometimes we make the mistake of worshiping worship instead of worshiping God. And sometimes we put our faith in faith instead of putting our faith in God. And sometimes we focus so much on the healing that we desperately need instead of placing our focus on God, our healer. A.B. Simpson put it this way, and I quote, "I wish to speak to you about Jesus and Jesus only. I often hear people say, I wish I could get hold of divine healing. but I cannot. Sometimes they say, I have got it. If I ask them, what have you got? The answer is sometimes, I have got the blessing. Sometimes it is, I have got the theory. Sometimes it is, I have got the healing. Sometimes, I have got the sanctification. But I thank God, we have been taught that it is not the blessing, it is not the healing, it is not the sanctification, it is not the thing, it is not the it that you want, but it is something better. It is the Christ. It is Himself. Out of that sermon that I just quoted from came a poem that Simpson wrote that masterfully summarizes the Bible's teaching about the centrality of Jesus. The poem is simply titled Himself. Look at the first verse. Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is His word. Once His gift I wanted, now the giver owns. Once I sought for healing, now Himself alone. Let's switch to the microphone here. That crackling is going to... I've got one here, the blue microphone. There we go. Once His gift I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now Himself alone. Are you ready to get off the roller coaster of running after the blessings and running after the feelings and pleading for the gifts and the healings and instead to embrace Christ Himself? I sure am. And that, my friends, is really the essence of the so-called fourfold gospel. It's all about Jesus. Jesus, our Savior. Jesus, our Sanctifier. Jesus, our Healer. Jesus, our coming King. And look at the rest of the poem. Once it was painful trying, now 'tis perfect trust. Once a half salvation, now the uttermost. Once 'twas ceaseless holding, now He holds me fast. Once 'twas constant drifting, now my anchor's cast. Once 'twas busy planning, now 'tis trustful prayer. Once 'twas anxious caring, now He has the care. Once 'twas what I wanted, now what Jesus says. Once 'twas constant asking, now 'tis ceaseless praise. Once it was my working, His it hence shall be. Once I tried to use Him, now He uses me. Once the power I wanted, now the Mighty One. Once for self I labored, now for Him alone. Once I hoped in Jesus, now I know He's mine. Once my lamps were dying, now they brightly shine. Once for death I waited, now His coming hail, and my hopes are anchored safe within the veil. And then the refrain, all in all forever, Jesus will I sing. Everything in Jesus, and Jesus everything. My friends, it all comes down to having an ongoing, dynamic, personal, moment-by-moment dependency on Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is divine healing for today? Absolutely. Otherwise, why would James have included these instructions in his letter? James 5, verse 14 says, is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. At the end of the service, the elders of the church will be with me here at the front of the sanctuary. And if you have a need, whatever the need might be, perhaps a need for Jesus as your Savior, or to understand more about Jesus being your sanctifier. Or if you want to be anointed and prayed for healing, we'd be delighted to do that as we point you to Jesus